VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning, although not what much of one, and it's 10 o'clock, and that means that this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we slog through all the slush and rain and sleet and things that we don't ever expect to find down here in April, and got here live as always. So if you want to help us repay some of that misery, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. We'll talk about anything from the weather to your money. Got a lot of things to go over today, so stay tuned if you can for the whole hour. There's a lot going on out there. And, of course, that starts out right away with what went on in the market. And I was just remarking to Adam a minute before we came on that this week felt kind of bad, because it was, instead of having a full cream week or anything like that, we had half and half. But the second half of the week, the most memorable, since we all suffer from recency bias, the most memorable part was the down part, but it did not eclipse the up part, and we wound up with numbers that are pretty civilized, I thought.
Yeah, no doubt. It's kind of funny. I'm looking at my notes, and I wrote almost the exact same thing that you just said. It was a week of two halves, the first half where equities went up and the second half where they went down.
And all for that one big main reason.
That no one can figure out?
Yes, that's the reason exactly. Well, in fact, it should have been the opposite.
The first half was, it seemed like it was driven by earnings.
Mm-hmm,
so
exactly.
That was a good thing. And then the second half, I just have no idea. It just seemed, market seemed aimless. It was just drifting. And
If you don't count earnings, which I'm sure you're going to shortly because of the good news in there, but if you don't count that, just look at the North Korean situation. That should have propelled the market, in my humble opinion, 400 or 500 points.
Well, that didn't come out until 15 minutes before the close on Friday.
Yeah, that's true.
And the market did go up about 100 points.
Yeah,
so it was still negative for the day.
Well, we'll know on Monday morning's futures if that's really going to have – I mean, that's really a big deal.
It really is, especially considering the violent moves down we saw because of that earlier this year.
Yep.
So
nobody knows for sure what will happen when you're dealing with that guy, but this is the closest in my lifetime we've ever had to hearing anything rational come out of there.
I thought the good news about this week, though, besides the fact the market was up a little bit, was that there wasn't a lot of violent, wild swings in
the
market.
That's
it was
true.
Pretty tame relative to how it's been over the last couple of months. And so that made me feel a little bit better, although the week didn't feel great overall. All three indexes ended up gaining about 0.5%. And unfortunately, Wednesday, they were all up significantly more than that, as we mentioned. For the quarter now, all three are up more than 1%. And for the year, the NASDAQ is up about 3.5%. The S&P is down 0.1%, so basically flat. Mm-hmm. And the Dow's down 1%. And I would kind of say the same thing about this year. It feels worse than that. But really, if you look at everything, the net is that it's basically been flat to date.
Of course, we were all spoiled for 13 months, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially in that last month, January.
Yeah, that looked like it was going to take off and be a repeat, and then some other stuff happened.
Yeah, but it was badly needed, I would argue.
And you would get no argument if you did.
By sectors, energy was the clear winner this week, gaining more than 2.5%. Industrials were also up more than 2%, while consumer discretionary, financials, and materials all added more than 1%. Consumer staples really got hit hard, down almost 4% during the week. That's an unusually big move for a defensive category like that.
I think it has less to do with the actual category than to the preferences people are showing for other things. For instance, the energy market. A lot of money's flowing into energy right now.
Yeah, the other sector that was down was technology, off just slightly, less than 0.2%.
And that's largely Apple. Apple's adrift right now.
Yeah, and Facebook's got its share of problems now, too.
Yeah, but there's that.
Stocks didn't have a great week, but bonds kind of fared worse, actually. Mm-hmm. Long treasuries were down over 2% during the week, while short treasuries were down 13 basis points. the aggregate bond market was down about 0.75%, and commodities were actually the place to be this week. Yeah. The commodities index actually rose almost 1%. Silver was up just under 3%, while oil gained 1.5%.
And inflation coming.
Gold dropped a little bit, but it was insignificant. Yeah.
Inflation is definitely coming, people.
You wouldn't know it from the action in the stock market, but earnings season is actually off to a pretty good start. Over 150 companies have reported, and the beat rate on earnings is at 80%.
I've done this for 17 years. I've never seen that number before.
Now, one thing is for certain, that number will change.
Yes, most likely
downward. It usually goes down, mm-hmm. but not always. And the other thing about this season that hasn't started off great is that the revenue beat rate is actually down from last quarter. Last quarter, it ended around 70%, and this quarter we're seeing a beat rate around 64%. So that's a little bit concerning.
Yeah,
but again, it's early. So.
It's so early. I think it's the type of companies that have reported so far, a lot of financials, things like that. Now, you're going to see some tech stuff next week. There's some big reports coming out next
and
week.
And Netflix beat on revenue. So the one big tech company that we did see report did very well. In fact, they beat on earnings, revenue, and they
guidance.
Gave forward guidance that was very positive.
That's a three-bagger.
Yep. And their stock was very handsomely rewarded that.
Oh, 10 million new customers in a quarter?
Crazy. 2 million in the U.S. alone, which is crazy because it's already, I don't want to say it's saturated, but it's they
ubiquitous.
Already have a big market share here.
People don't ask you now. They assume, well, you've got Netflix, right?
Yeah, did you see this on Netflix? And then they're surprised if you
and
don't
I
have
don't.
It. Yeah.
So, color me behind the times, I guess.
The other good news that we've seen so far is that forward guidance has been very positive overall, and that was the trend last quarter. It'll be great if that trend continues. Lots of big names getting set to report for next week, so we'll see what happens. But so
next
far,
week
pretty
is
good
when
start.
It really kicks off. I mean, it's started now, but it's like accelerating up to 65 miles an hour. You don't get there unless you go through 25.
And then the economic data, kind of keeping with the recent trend, has been pretty strong. Housing starts and building permits both hit a post-Great Recession high. Weekly jobless claims stayed at their extremely low level. Industrial output continues to increase. And to top it all off, the retail sales report, which had been very disappointing the last 2 months, came in extremely strong. The actual reading was 0.6% growth in March. Expectation was for 0.4%, so double or beat that by about 50%. And the largest gains were in autos and parts dealers, an area that's been a little bit lagging. And the major weakness was in sporting goods, and I'm not sure why that was.
It's somewhat puzzling, but that's sporting goods through retail sporting goods outlets, isn't it? Or do they classify Amazon sales, for instance?
No, I don't believe they do.
I think that's
Dick's and Academy
exactly.
and those types of
And I think what's happening is a lot of that's going to the online world.
Could be.
And it's taking away from the way they calculate the numbers.
Yeah, well, almost everything is going to the online sales world, so
that's
not surprising.
Truth. Absolutely true.
Yeah, so all in all, it was a pretty decent week. It felt a little worse than it was, but not bad.
All right, we will have a trivia question when we come back from the break. And this week's question, which is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, you can call Ken at 636-7888. And it has to do with massive financial things for America. And we'll not ask you until we get back because I've got to make you hold on. So if you can stick around for that and a lot more, we're going to talk about I revisit once in a while my personal top 10 financial rules that everyone should live by. And we have some things on sudden wealth syndrome, which is a little thing that you might think makes you the luckiest person in the world, and you might not. Depends how much you know. Anyway, all that when we come back. So do not go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open. Give us a call at 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK if you want to make it real easy. The trivia question of the day. What big financial event took place yesterday for all of the people in the USA? And it is a big one. And there's a story behind it, as we always like to tell. So, Anything else you want to wrap up in the market, or shall we move along?
No, let's move along.
All right. We'll wrap that up in one quick sentence. It was a pretty good week that didn't feel like it.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think so. All right. What do you do to achieve personal financial success? Well, ask 100 people, you're going to get 100 ideas, right? But since no one asked me, I'll just give you mine. How's that?
Not surprised.
People who have listened to me for years know that I do this every few years. And, of course, it gets updated every few years because the world changes, people change, the situation changes, I change, all that stuff. So let's start with number 10. Diversify your investments and your life. What does that mean? I think most investors are pretty capable of understanding the need for diversification in a portfolio. If you're riding a single thing and it goes up real big, then you win. But if it goes down real big, you're out. The only way over a long period of time to be successful as an investor is to diversify. Hence, you hear all those things like 60-40 portfolios and so on. And that truly is, in our day jobs, one of the things that we specialize in is the way you diversify. But also your life. If you're sitting around stagnating, not meeting any new people, do something. Learn something new. You might want to get on the computer. You might want to get off the computer. You might want to go out a little more. But think of something new this year that you can take up or get interested in, and you'll be a much more interesting person by this time next year. Number 9, insure yourself before it's too late. Insurance is a lot like credit. If you need it, you can't get it. So assess your insurance needs. They will change as time goes on. Different stages of your life require different insurances. And with one possible exception being Obamacare, the oldest rule in the book is the first day you need insurance is the first day you can't buy it. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth. So you have to plan on your insurance, which, again, one of the reasons you would hire a certified financial planner, fee only, and a registered investment advisor, is that's part of the planning process. Number 8, buy a personal liability umbrella and a regular umbrella today, but that I digress. A personal liability umbrella is an add-on to your underlying insurance for your home and your cars and such, and it covers you in the event of someone suing you for more money than your policy covers. But that's not even the number one reason to do it. The number one reason is when you do have a personal liability umbrella, PLU, and you do get sued, all you have to do is give them your policy number and the lawyers go away. From that day on, you don't care because they're fighting it for you and they're paying for it. That is the only insurance policy that you're ever going to get that does your defense for you as part of the insurance. How about that? And if you think that's not big, look at a lawyer's bill someday. All right, number 7. If it sounds too good to be true, you can probably finish this one, can't you?
I probably could.
Mm-hmm. It is. We all dream about making the big killing, but it's not going to happen by listening to people who are promising outsized returns, no risk, and all those things we're perpetually bombarded with in the media. The way you get rich is slow and steady. Compounding is the greatest miracle of modern invention. That was attributed to a real smart fellow named Einstein. Far too often, people get distracted. The same people that will come into our office, we'll talk to on the streets or talk to on the telephone, people always describe themselves as being very conservative investors. And then something comes along, one of these absolute must-do things, 20%, 15%, 18% returns, offshore credit vehicles, it doesn't matter what it is, and they can't finish the sentence. If it sounds too good to be true, dot, dot, dot. In fact, I was listening to a Newt Gingrich speech about 5-8 years ago, whatever. He was addressing a big crowd of people at a lectern, and he said, finish the sentence. If you can't afford the house, and he stops, and there's some rustling in the room. And he says, this is not a trick question, people. Answer the question. If you can't afford the house, and then, of course, in unison, everybody says, don't buy the house. So remember my question, always finish the sentence. If it sounds too good to be true, I would add one thing on there. Run. Don't walk away. Number 6, don't use a commissioned financial advisor. This may sound a little self-serving since we are not commissioned people, but we love commissioned people. We love them when they're selling you a house or selling your house. We love them when we go to a car dealer and we talk to someone because that person is going to be working for you to conclude a transaction and get paid on it, and that means they're on your side. If you're not sure where you stand when you're talking to a financial person, ask and ask this question, and you will know by the answer. Are you a fiduciary on my account? If you get anything other than a resounding yes, run, don't walk away. Always look for credentials in a financial planner. The ones you want to see, there are only two that I lend any credence to. First one's a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, that's Adam and me, or CFA, a Chartered Financial Analyst. Let me tell you, that one is hard to get also.
And a lot of those guys are and girls are not financial planners.
Right.
They do other
They're
types
the
of
number
things.
Side.
Yeah.
I've always said, and I've got a thing on it that I might do, maybe even as soon as today, never know. But if you want to be a financial advisor, here's what you do. And that's it's a direct related thing. And by the way, this is a corollary to number six. Don't do business with someone you meet at church. I know you meet the nicest people and they're so well-meaning and so thoughtful and religious and pious and wonderful, but they're selling insurance or annuities or mutual funds for a commission. They're not licensed to do any of the more complex things that we do. So just thank them and walk away. You know, if you're getting pitched in a church, there's something up. Number five, when you leave a company, move your 401k account to a rollover IRA. Almost always, and I emphasize almost, before you do it, you should talk to someone like us. There are a couple things that might make you want to hold back. For instance, earlier withdrawals, age 55, in-service withdrawals, it can be done that way. It can make a difference depending on the relationship between you and your beneficiaries, particularly spouse, where you can actually make a mistake by doing that. And you can always do it later on. But in general, if I had to call it a rule of thumb, if you're leaving the company, roll it to a rollover IRA and take control. About a third or so of the funds remaining in 401k plans, TSP and everything, are from people who no longer work there. That means they've lost touch with their money. The company has lost touch with them, and nothing good can come of that. So if you want to talk about that, that's another great reason to either pick up the phone or come and see us at the office. By the way, it's tax-free rollover, too, so don't worry about the expense. Oh, and by the way, it's a one-hour free meeting, too, so don't worry about that expense. Hey, guys, what a deal. Number four. And I'm coming back to this one. It is not okay to plan on an inheritance. It is okay to plan for an inheritance. And I'm going to skip on to the next one because when I come back on this one, I'm going to beat it up. Number three, always have way more credit than you think you'll ever need. Why? Because like insurance, the day you need that credit is the day you're not going to get it. Number two, directly related to number three. Work tirelessly to never need a bank in your life. I said need, not use, need. Banks are a very important part of the financial system. You look now at cryptocurrencies, things like that, avoiding banks. There's nobody guaranteeing that process out there for you. It's much safer to me to have all the large transactions done through a bank. But if you need them, they will turn you down. The oldest line in the book, which is from vast experience among many people, is they will only lend you money if you can prove to them beyond any reasonable doubt that you don't need it. And guess who said that on the campaign trail back in 2016? Donald Trump said, I can borrow all the money I want, but my friends can't because they need it and I don't. And it's exactly the same thing. Our suggestion, look into joining a local credit union, where your transactions and your personal loans will be much easier, better, safer, and they benefit your community directly. Number one, if we ever help you, you can pay us back. You know how you do that? Teach your kids and your friends about personal finance, personal responsibility. Avoid what is happening to a lot of the older people who are living in misery because they didn't plan for it. Have people listen to the show. Talk to people who know what they're doing. Start planning early in your life and achieve that mystical thing at some point in your life where you will become financially independent, and we can help. And all we ask is that you take care of yourself and your friends and your family, and you'll all be better off. So when we come back, remember the lines are open and the trivia question is still out there. But when we come back, we're going to talk about sudden wealth syndrome and a bunch of other good things. And I don't know what Adam's got on deck, but he's always got some ideas floating around too. So we'll cover all of that. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Vanway Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And the lines are open, 904-222-TALK. Trivia question still out there. What major financial event happened yesterday that touches all Americans? You will really like this.
Definitely.
Find out. Yeah. All right. Sudden wealth syndrome. What does that mean? Everybody knows stories of lottery winners and so on. Or somebody invents a widget and all of a sudden somebody buys their company and boom, they got all kinds of money. And others inherit money. Well, inheriting money is not always a sudden wealth situation. There are a lot of families that have some means and they do good estate planning. So they're set up that when the money gets passed along, that it's not really a surprise when it happens. And that's ultimately a very good thing. Now, you know that some of the other ones, for instance, I'm picking on lottery winners just because of this book that I came across today. Lottery's unlucky winners, the disaster after the celebration. Well, what do you suppose would drive somebody to write a book about that? Could it be that it has occurred so often? I think it could be, and it is all true stories. In fact, we've all heard them, and they often end poorly, we'll say. In our day jobs and also on the radio, we refer to inheritance as the ultimate good news, bad news scenario. When you get an inheritance, it means you've lost a family member or at least a good friend or relative, and that's an emotional loss. But the fact that they left you as a beneficiary means you have a financial gain. So it's good news and bad news all rolled into one. As I said, it's not always unexpected or sudden, but sometimes it is. Some John Beresford Tipton knocks on your door and says your great-great aunt in Massachusetts died and left you $1 million. It does happen. Not to me, not to you probably, but it does happen. But more often than not, we get it through planning. Now, rule number one, Vanway Financial Hour. Callers first. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi. I have a question quickly.
Sure.
About a small stock fund that's only $30,000. And what happened is my financial advisor called me and told me he needed to speak to me to change one of my funds. I had TCAPS for the dividends, and also I have Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
Well, he said I needed to get rid of the TCAPS because it had gone down a couple, I don't know, a little bit over the last 2 years.
Can you spell that? The TCAP?
T-C-A-P-S. TCAP.
Okay,
no,
that's a
fun. I don't know if there's a cat. I don't know if there's an S, but
okay.
I think there is.
We're not TCAP. Familiar with it, but in general, it went down a little bit. We'd have to know what kind of a fund it was, and if it's a, for instance, if it's a long bond fund, it will have gone down because interest rates are rising. It also depends what time frame he's talking about, because in the last 3 months, stock funds are down. So it's difficult to say whether or not that was good advice. And it also doesn't figure in anything about taxes. If you've had it a long time and have a big gain in it, you may not want to take it. It's hard to be specific.
No, I have not had any. It's only $30,000. I haven't had any big gains of any kind of sorts, okay?
Okay.
But you don't know what TCAPS is, TCAPS?
No, have you found anything?
No. The only thing I can find is Traverse City Area Public Schools. But that's definitely not it.
Okay, well, my question is, the day after he got me out of TCAPS and put me into some kind of an apartment thing, APTS, I think it is, it went. I lost $2,500. And they were more expensive, so my dividends that I count on every month, I lost about, let's see, it was 14 and it went down to 900 a year.
Okay.
So what do you, why would, I don't understand why he would have done that, first of all.
Well, that begs the question, is he a commission broker?
Yes.
You just answered your own question.
No, he's like you are.
Okay.
You only pay him if you sell something or buy something.
No, that's not what we do.
No, we don't do that. We get paid a fee for managing assets, and it never changes. No matter how many things you buy or sell, it is only the balance in your account quarterly, and that is how we get paid. But we never get paid to do a transaction, ever. That's a commission salesman.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that you charge to quarterly?
Yes.
Oh. Well, my that's not big enough to, you know, bother you guys with. I know. I just thought it was kind of odd that he would put me in something that I was going to lose that much when he knows how much I count on those dividends.
I would call it very likely reason enough to dump him. But before I just get real specific on that, I tell you, are you available during the week for consultation?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you give Adam a call at the office on Monday, and you can talk to him a little while, as long as it's not between 2 and 4. Or even Tuesday, it doesn't matter. But then we can get really specific about what happened, who it is, and all that. I don't want to be too graphic on the air about people selling on commission.
Especially with, I'm not familiar with either of those investments, the one he came from or the one he went to. So I would like to know a little bit more about
that. In the morning? So Monday morning is better?
Yeah, just call us in the office. It's our number is 685-1505.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd be happy to help. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You want to take a guess at what happened yesterday?
What happened
yesterday? The biggest financial event for many people of the entire year happened yesterday, and it affects every American. You know what it was?
No. Okay. Sorry.
Don't hang up. Well, hang on to the end of the show. You'll find out. And it is a good start.
Well, I do listen to you every Saturday.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, and we do appreciate it. Thanks, Veronica.
Yeah, thanks, Veronica. We'll talk to you on Monday then.
Yeah, it sounds a lot to me like somebody generating a transaction for a commission.
Yeah,
but it could have been based on something substantive, which is why I don't want to get too specific.
Exactly, and there's no way he could have known what was going to happen in the investment in the coming days. You just can't. You can't know that. So,
but it sounds like maybe what
was, I'm sure he did not buy it so that she would lose money.
No, and no one has that kind of a ulterior motive, I guess, to have you lose money.
No.
Trust me, everybody.
That's what gets people fired, and they definitely don't want to be fired. So
there's probably something to it, but it might be as simple as you're just using the wrong people. That's possible. Now, as far as whether it's big enough to talk to people like us, you're never too small to talk to us. Whether or not we could be of help to you and whether it's worth you paying somebody like us, that's another story.
Right.
But we'll talk to anybody and everybody, and no matter what happens, if you walk away from a discussion with us, either in person, on the radio, or in the office, if we didn't teach you something, it's our bad.
Yeah. In fact, we had a gentleman in yesterday that it was not a fit to do business together, but I think we were able to give him some advice that will save him some money on taxes. So
very definitely.
Yeah.
So that You know, we really do a lot of what we do because we can, basically, because we're very fortunate. But our business model enhances that kind of thing, which is why we think everybody should do it the way we do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They won't, because they don't like that fiduciary word that I was talking about. But that's just the way it is. That's all. All right, back to inheriting or sudden wealth. Reactions to the inheritance of money, property, whatever, are as varied as the people who inherited it. Nobody has exactly the same story as everybody else. And the amount of money is really relatively insignificant, because what is a lot to one person is a paltry sum to other people. So right now, setting the stage for when we come back and finish this up, over the next few years, the baby boomers and the baby boomers' parents are starting to die off. There will be transfers of wealth in this country over the next, well, very few years, 10 to 20 years, I guess, of about $7 trillion of wealth that's going down another generation. $7 trillion, let me put it another way, that's $7 million. That's a lot of millions of dollars. And most of that is going to transfer under the new tax law with absolutely no inheritance tax. So you're talking cash on the barrelhead here, and lots of it. All right, what to do with it will be our topic when we get back from the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And trivia question is still out there. Oh, the big event that happened yesterday to all Americans, big financial event, one that will put smiles on a lot of people's faces, I think. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things are starting to grow, especially with all this rain. Call Troy at 662-9794. All right, $7 trillion is going to pass from the current owners to the next generation, and maybe the one after that. And that's not going to be all that many years in getting it done. Remember, 10,000 to 12,000 people a day are turning 65 and have been for quite some time, which means there's a lot of them turning 70, and some of their parents are still hanging around and they're starting to go. You know, it's an inevitable fact of life that we're not going to make it forever, which reminds me, in fact, I'm going to digress just a little bit. I have a Barbara Bush anecdote. Everybody should have a Barbara Bush anecdote, since she's being buried right as we speak. Years ago, when we were living on the beach, and we had a next-door neighbor, the neighbors had grown up with the Bushes for many, many years in Texas, knew them very well. And I heard three or four different people tell the story about Barbara Bush right after she died this week. And they said, well, what are you – I'll be right with you, Brian, on the line, but I'll finish this. How are you going to pay – your help now, because you don't have a paycheck? And she said, I haven't had a paycheck in 46 years. So anyway, they worked it out and apparently were able to do it. But we came home one night after they were out of office, and there were a bunch of black limousines on the street and that kind of thing. So we knew what was cooking over next door. We ran into the neighbor a couple days later, and he was telling the story. Barbara and George were in town because Barbara had taken a directorship on the board of Mayo Clinic. And he said, yeah, she did it because they offered health insurance at that time. She was able to get it through that. And he said, you know, the ex-president said last night, you know, one day you're the president of the United States, and the next day you're unemployed, you don't have health insurance, and your wife has to get a job. That was from the horse's mouth.
Nice.
Good morning, Brian.
Morning. I was one of the first to answer the question, or I believe I can answer the question about 420.
Uh-huh.
It's the final day that most people have to pay taxes, and the rest of the year you would actually get to keep your money.
That is right. It's called Tax Freedom Day, and that means we have now worked for ourselves for one whole day. And all the other days that came before this in the year, we've been working for Uncle Sam and the governors of the states. So you're now free people, and you notice it happened in April. Historically, it has happened in May. That's the tax cuts. A few more days you get to work for yourself. And I'll add on one quick corollary before you go on to your second part. And that is, if they added the borrowed money on this year's budget in order to hit tax freedom day would take us 17 more days to pay that off. That's how much money they're borrowing. So it's not all good news, but since it's a Saturday morning, it's gloomy. I'm just going to call it good news. You're free, folks. All right, what else can we do for you?
I was curious, do you guys support or advise your clients to do what they call a backdoor non-traditional IRA?
You mean a Roth, a backdoor Roth IRA? Absolutely.
That's right.
We have many, many people do that.
Well, in the right situations.
We have to be qualified to do it for one. But yes, we do.
So are they able to, they have to put it into a non-traditional, and then can they do it immediately that day, or do they have to wait a certain time period?
There's two schools of thought on that.
Yeah, there's no requirement to wait, but in general, we like to wait a little bit over a month, and that is purely for if they get audited. It's a little bit of a defense, although it's not an illegal contribution. It is somewhat frowned upon in some circles.
But I backed off on that this year when they passed a new tax law. I'm not nearly as strict about that as I used to be, for the simple reason that they left that procedure alone while they were taking away the ability to recharacterize of a Roth conversion other than that one. So it seems to me like they intentionally allowed it, and therefore they don't have much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah, that's true. So it really, there's no requirement that you wait. You can do it. I usually do it. But if you did it the next day, there's really nothing that's stopping you from doing that.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, what Brian's talking about is you make your contribution that you would like to do a Roth IRA, but you're limited out by your income, so you can't make that contribution. So you put it to a traditional IRA, but then don't deduct that contribution.
Right.
Then you convert it to a Roth, and what you've done is what we call a backdoor Roth conversion. Now, there is a little trap set in there, too. If you have any other IRAs, the tax-free portion of that is going to be only the proportion that that contribution is. So, as Adam said, it's not for everybody, but for the specific people that it works for, it's fantastic, and I personally do it.
So can you explain just a little bit more on the remaining portion of the traditional IRA? Are you saying that you have to try to, you have to convert it all to not have to pay?
No, the contribution, let's say $6,500 for those of you over 50.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in $6,500 to a traditional IRA and do not deduct that from your current taxes. Then you take that $6,500 and you move it over in a what they call a conversion to a Roth IRA. Now, here's the taxes on it. If you have no other IRAs, that is a 100% tax-free move. But let's say you put that $6,500 in, but you already had another $6,500 in a separate IRA.
Traditional IRA.
Traditional, yes. And which includes simples and that sort of thing,
yes,
too. So you have $13,000, of which $6,500 is converted tax-free, because you only get tax-free the proportion of what you didn't deduct to the entire IRA balances. So the way we get around that for most people who are qualified to do it, we open up an individual 401k plan, put all of their IRAs in there, and then do this, and it's 100% tax-free. But those are very specific cases. Not everybody will have it work like that.
Okay, great.
It's a little confusing, probably.
It is. Mm-hmm. But basically, if you have any other money in traditional IRAs and you do that move, a portion of what you move over will be taxable.
Right.
If all of your money is in a 401k and you do that move, then nothing will be taxable.
Mm-hmm. Pretty slick.
So can you convert? You can only convert. Can you convert no matter the entire IRA, more than $5,500 or $6,500? You just have to pay taxes on the gain.
Yes, and no longer can you recharacterize any of that if you find you've made a mistake.
Right.
That's what they took away from us this year. Darn it. That was the best planning tool we had. You just over-convert, then you do your taxes, and you recharacterize back everything so you're $1 under the limit. It was fantastic, and it's gone. So you live a little too long, I guess, huh? So if you have any more questions, you feel free to call the office and ask about it. I might even put a blog up on this on our website.
Yeah, we could address that next week, actually, on air, because it's a great tool for the
it
right
is.
People. But there aren't a whole lot of people that can do it because most people have some sort of traditional IRA, and that kind of tax-wise blocks the move.
Right.
Great, thank you.
Did we give you enough? Don't go anywhere, though. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address because you are today's winner.
Great, thanks.
All right. I love that question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I just wish they hadn't taken that full recharacterization privilege away from everybody. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It was too good.
Yeah, it was.
And wait, what did I just say about finish the sentence? If it sounds too good to be true?
Exactly. Yeah. And what a lot of people were doing was moving money over to a Roth, letting it grow, and I think you had 18 months to grow it, and then you could undo all of that, or you could just pick your winners and leave them over there.
If the market fell, you put it back, right. And then at the lower level, you convert it over again the next year, and here you go.
Yeah, there was just too many. I don't want to call them loopholes because they were using the tax code as it was written. But it was, I mean, if there ever was a loophole, that was pretty close to one.
Well, if you think about it, why did they do this? Because marginal tax rates fell a lot. Everybody who would convert under last year's tax law, they're okay. But they see this coming where you're gonna recharacterize it all back and then convert it again at today's new tax rates that are lower, and that's going to hurt them big time.
Exactly.
It doesn't surprise me. They're smart enough to do that. All right. We did have the trivia question and the winner. It is Tax Freedom Day. You have now worked for yourselves. You're into day two of 2018. Isn't that special, people?
And we are. We have a special guest coming up in a couple of weeks. May 11th, I believe, is the date. A friend of mine who's in does some private equity, venture capital, investing in angel investing, all that kind of stuff. He is coming on the show to talk about how his process works, and it should be a really interesting discussion. So if you have any questions or are interested in that topic, think of them and get them ready for May 11th.
Remember what I said about banks. If you absolutely need them, they're not going to be there for you. You have to find alternatives, and this fella can tell you about some alternatives. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.